Good to see everybody here this morning. Hope everybody's had a good week this past week. We're earlier than we normally are, and I will respect that fact. I've already got the stopwatch going. I'll try to keep it reasonable, and I'll try and keep it lively, but I'll also try and make sure that we're looking at some scriptures that will be beneficial to our service to God. So good to see everybody today. It's great to have Lucy back with us, and we've been missing having her and getting to have Ann back as well. We've got Jackie and Don back in town, and we're thrilled for that. And it's good to have Monty and Melody here. As a matter of fact, if Monty had told me, y'all might be getting a good sermon this morning instead of me. But good to see them here today. I want to talk about something that I think is just absolutely critical to our service to God, and that is, are we serious about it? I sometimes wonder if God's service kind of gets relegated to just kind of down the line. There are certain things that we do for our job that we would not dream of not doing. It's just part of it. We realize that those who employ us have the authority, and we're willing to put ourselves under their authority, even though we might not always agree with what they say. We're still mindful of the fact that they have that right, and so we abide with what they say. Same thing with school. I don't remember ever particularly enjoying school when I was a young person, but I also don't remember ever being given an option. Do you want to go today or not? We recognize the fact that when we send our kids to school, that those who are the administrators and the teachers and all the ones involved with that, they're the authority. They have that right, and we willingly place ourselves under their authority. And so we abide by that, even with our extracurricular activities. As a matter of fact, those are some of the ones we're most serious about, aren't we? Where we might not make a big deal with our kids about studying certain subjects. You know, this is just finger painting. You're probably okay if you don't do that, son, or whatever. If you make a C on that, we're okay with that. But when it came to basketball, well, you'll be at every practice. and you're gonna abide by the rules at practice. And so even our extracurricular activities, we are serious about those things. We see there's an authority, and we're willing to place ourselves under that authority. But sometimes when it comes to God, sometimes when it comes to our service to God, even though we recognize Him as our authority, we don't always act under that authority. As a matter of fact, what we do is we kind of set our own rules. I know it says this here, but in my situation, for today, because of this circumstance, I'm not going to do that. And when we start adjusting the laws of God, we have to ask ourselves, are we serious about that? Do we really recognize Him as our authority, or are we kind of just allowing Him a favor by being here or by praying or by studying? Do we feel like that's something extra rather than taking it serious as we should? In Mark chapter 7 and verse 6, Jesus quoted a passage from Isaiah, and He said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Think about that for a moment. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I love that old letter. I assume it's just a joke, but it's been around for a lot of years, and it's supposed to be from a young man to a young lady. And he starts off the letter by saying, "My dearest love, nothing could separate me from you and your affection. I'd climb the highest mountain to be with you. I would swim the deepest ocean to be with you. I would crawl across the driest desert on my hands and knees to be with you." And then he concludes, "Your loving whatever." And then at the end of it, he puts a P.S. "See you next Wednesday unless it rains." The idea is, there's no doubt that he feels devoted to her. But is it just an honoring with the lips? "These people honor me with their lips" is what God had the prophet Isaiah write in Isaiah 29. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Jesus repeated the same thing in Mark that we just read. And there are times we have to admit, that's true. Don't really want to do this. I don't really want to do that. I'm not suggesting that every time we do something in God's service that we have to be jumping up and down happy about. We all do things at times where if we'd had our druthers, we might have done something else. And so to a certain degree, as long as we don't have an improper antagonism, by making the sacrifice for something that we know we need to do instead of something that we'd rather be doing, maybe there's a little bit of honor found in that. But isn't it even more honorable when we come and we worship because this is where we want to be? It's not just that God said on the first day of the week, you'll gather to break bread, or at least that was the practice of the New Testament church, and we take that to be a command from God. It's not just that God said to study to show yourself approved, and so we do it. Kind of like we take part in English, for example, or to pray without ceasing. These should be things that we want to do. If we're serious about our service to God, we'll do them. Think about this for a moment. Christians are referred to as servants. They are not referred to as salvation recipients. And the reason I say that is because sometimes when it comes to spiritual matters, we're more like being on the welfare roll when we didn't need to be. There are some people for whom welfare was created that need to be there. And a just and loving and compassionate society will do something about those who need to be taken care of, who cannot take care of themselves. There are other people who have no right to be on there. They're just kind of leeching off of things. They're welfare recipients just like the other one, but there's not a reason for them to be there. Sometimes as a Christian, don't we have to admit that maybe we're more of a salvation recipient rather than a servant, or at least we hope we're a salvation recipient. We are referred to as servants over and over within Scripture. The question is, are we serious about that service to God? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul says, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What stands out to you in that? If it's the salvation first, that's good. Salvation should stand out. But sometimes we gloss over the idea of working out our salvation. We might think that that's beneath us and beneath God, that somehow violates grace. But nothing could be farther from the truth. Grace is not a free ticket to heaven. If grace were a free ticket to heaven, Satan would be saved. Everyone evil would be saved because it would be a free ticket to heaven. Grace is extended freely to all, but it comes with certain requirements. And these are why we're studying the Word of God, is we want to find out. Continue to work out your salvation means work. I always like Thomas Edison's quote on work and opportunity. He talked about the fact people are always bemoaning, this person seems to get opportunity when I don't seem to get opportunity. And he said this: the reason a lot of people don't recognize opportunity is because it usually goes around wearing overalls, looking like hard work. Isn't that true? Sometimes the reason we don't recognize opportunity as servants of God is because instead of it being wrapped in a fancy bow as a gift for us to open just to see what we're going to get, it comes in overalls, ready for us to do the work. Again, we're called servants. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Will our work save us? And the answer is, of course they won't save us. We can never do enough to be worthy of God. That's why grace. Grace through faith. But we must not misunderstand what faith is. Faith is not just a mere acknowledgement of God as existing. Faith is not just belief. When we read about faith within Scripture, it is belief in action. I believe this, and that belief is going to cause me to do something. It's kind of like hanging off the edge of a cliff. I believe I'm in danger. That danger should cause you to do something. Holler for help. Start climbing. Look for some way down. But it goes way beyond just that. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, when Peter was talking to the people about having their sins washed away, he said this: Acts 2:40. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. We read that a lot, but sometimes what we don't read is what it says right after that. Verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Being serious means that we're going to be devoted. Kind of like that young man thought he was devoted to his girlfriend when it came down to it, he really wasn't. He may have been in love with being in love. He may have been infatuated with her. But if a little sprinkle or two could keep him away, then maybe he wasn't as devoted as he thought. How many times do we allow the simplest thing to stand in our way between us and our service to God? And I'm not just talking about coming on the first day of the week. I believe that's important. I also believe that's required. I don't see how we can get around that. But I'm talking about our daily service, the 24/7 aspect of it. Are we serious about that? When we're doing a business deal, are we doing the business deal as a Christian? When we're talking with our buddies or with our girlfriends, is our language good? Is our motives good? Is it filled with malicious gossip or is it filled with concern for others? Doesn't mean we don't have a good time. As a matter of fact, if Christians don't have a better time than non-Christians, we're probably missing the point. It's just that we have a joy that comes from being a servant of God. And that can't help but overflow into our lives. But it won't overflow if we're not serious. Because if we're not serious about our service to God, we will always be looking at what's in it for me rather than what can I do as a servant. That's the question. Are we serious in our service to God? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. Starts off with grace. By the grace God has given me. We can't ever forget that our salvation, our service, the very fact that we are here begins with grace. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Now, that's an interesting passage on a lot of different levels, but think about that. When I was working around construction, my first job was to clean up around construction sites where they were building a home. And it was always interesting. It was the foundation that took the longest. I mean, before they even started, they had to get soil tests and they had to have engineers come out and they had to figure out everything just exactly right. And then somebody would come out and they would stake out the foundation and they would do that with a transom or some other type of equipment to make sure that it was exact to within the hundredth of an inch if they could get it that close. A foundation took a lot of work. And then they had to dig that right. And if they came into problems with something got revealed underneath, they might even have to abandon the project and go somewhere else. But the foundation took way longer just getting that foundation planned and set and poured. It took way longer than the building of the house. The building of the house, once the foundation was in, went relatively quickly. I was always stunned. I always thought, man, houses go up really, really fast. Until I worked around a construction site and noted, they don't. It's just the last part, the part that we see above ground, goes really fast. But Paul said, I've already laid that foundation. Once we have the foundation laid, we've got work to do, do we not? That's when the framers came. That's when the plumbers and the electricians came. I'm finding that out right now. Mom is building a house, and about the only thing we're saving is the foundation. That's not true. We're saving the walls and the roof and everything else. But it seems like it. We just essentially gutted the thing, and there's a lot of work to be done. I'm hoping there's not a fire to test all that when it's done, but there's a lot of work. And as I was telling my sister-in-law the other day, who came and was admiring the tiles, the vinyl I'd laid in the bathroom, and she said, this looks pretty good. I said, look at this. And I turned the lights out. Look at it now. My work is best viewed in the dark. Sometimes we think our spiritual work is best viewed in the dark. But the day will bring it to light. There's going to come a final day. God is going to review our work. Oh, we've failed in a million places, haven't we? But that's the beauty of God's grace. That's the beauty of the forgiveness that we have in Christ. But the question is, do we just throw our work tools down and stomp off, or do we start building again? Do we take out that which isn't good? Or do we just try and build on a rotted foundation? We can't build on anything properly except for that which has been laid, Jesus Christ. Are we doing that? And this point where our work will be tested with fire, when it comes to work, some people are offended at that within the Christian world or within the Christian, those who identify as Christians, because they're convinced that grace is the only thing that's needed. And I want to say, if grace was the only thing that was needed, we wouldn't even need the Word of God, would we? God wouldn't even have to tell us about it. If He did tell us about it, what would He say? You're saved by grace. We'll see you at judgment. You're okie dokie. But He didn't. He gave us a big book. Why? Because He wants to serve it. Him. Why? Because He loves us. He didn't want any man to perish. Peter reveals that through inspiration. But Jesus said most will take the wide path that leads to destruction. Why? Because most people are not serious about their work to God. Let me ask you this. When it says the work will test each man's fire, do we even have anything that can be tested? Or are we just kind of existing? The physical life will take up, the physical life will fill up and overflow if you let it. And there are certain times of our life at certain stages that we can't do anything else but just go from one thing to the next until we get through difficult times. But if we find that our entire life before God is just the leftovers, I can come today, I can read tomorrow, I can pray a little bit later, but it's going to be a gimme list, then maybe we're not serious about our service to God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, Apostle Paul reminds us through inspiration to be careful about that service. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. I wasn't careful yesterday. I don't know if you can see this, but this finger is actually purple on this side. I didn't do anything to this side. I hit this side with a hammer. And let me tell you, I hit it good. I was working in a closet that has no lights so that we could get lights in the closet. The electrician is coming back as soon as I finish my work. And so I was kind of seeing and kind of not seeing. And I had a nail that was really stubborn. I'd been screwing everything else in, but I couldn't get a screw in there. So I thought, I'll nail that. And I did. I nailed it really good. I hit it so hard that it mashed the inside of my hand to the board I was working on. And it went all the way down my elbow. It took me a long time to figure out exactly what all I had damaged with that. Be very careful then how you live. Not as wise, as unwise, but as wise. We can't do anything but laugh about things like that. You'd go insane if you didn't. But do we give our service to God where we're continually smashing our souls and the souls of other people because we're working in the dark? Because we're not serious enough about our service to expose it to the light of the Word. The things that you hear from me are just that. They're things you hear from me. Things you hear from other people are just that. Things you hear from other people. But when we look at the Word and we read about the light, Jesus is in the light, and we read about the light that we're to walk in, and we understand that God is serious about this, not because He hates us, but because He loves us. Because He knows that if we don't walk in the light, we're going to stumble in the darkness. We're going to go around smashing everything and everybody by doing that. Still do that to this day, even when we're careful, don't we? Are you serious about your service to God? One last passage and we'll close. Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. This is one of the best ways to determine whether we're serious or not. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? They could have stuck time in there too. I know Jesus didn't forget anything, but I can tell you that when we're talking about our works here on earth, it does take time and money. And of course, Jesus was not forgetting that. He was talking specifically about what so many people hold the most precious, that's their money. And he was just talking about that. If you're going to build something magnificent, aren't you going to sit down first and see if you can afford it? His point is this: your Christian life is meant to be magnificent. It's meant to be a structure others can see, not so they can glorify you, but so they can glorify God. So they can see how wonderful our life is before Christ. What are people seeing when they see that? Are they seeing people who didn't count the cost and who kind of regret it? Who are always complaining about this service to God or that service to God? Or are they seeing a structure that's going up by the grace of God that's beautiful to look at, pleasing to see, attractive? Because our lives need to be attractive to God and to attract people to God and to Christ. And they will if we're serious about that service. But they won't if we're not. If he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees him will ridicule him. One of the most serious things I think that we can do is to live our Christian life in such a way that people see that and ridicule Christ, somehow thinking that we're a reflection of him when we're a reflection of anything other than that. If we're serious, we'll find out what to build, how to build it, and it'll be beautiful to others. The question I think that we want to leave ourselves with is the one we've been asking this whole time, is are you serious about your service to God? If you are and you're not a Christian yet, but you'd like to become one today, we would love to help you with that. If you're a Christian and need the prayers of the congregation, we'd love to do that as well. But if you have any needs, won't you come forward and let us know about them while we stand and sing.